each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to GIF. Thank God it's Friday.
Yay.
Not almost Friday, but it is Friday.
It is.
And here we are. Wow. How are you guys doing?
Anticipating the weekend.
What are you planning for the weekend?
Just to relax. Yeah, just to relax.
I'm extremely tired.
That's what's supposed to happen. So,
enjoying the weather too.
Yeah, it is. It's nice and cool. Mm-hmm. Well, today's a feast of St. James. I am your brother, not St. James, but Father Anthony, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. And tell you, you know, we'll try to answer a couple of questions here today. You know, how to maintain one's sanity,
good luck with that one.
Five steps to better mental health, sanity in a world that is
insane.
Increasingly insane, and five ways to sanctify your day. So don't let me get through the hour without addressing those. I want to go back in a moment here to. I don't know why I'm just fixated on this the plight of the Christians in the Middle East. I know we've talked about this, I think almost every day this week.
It's because we don't hear it.
We don't hear it.
It's disturbing.
That's very disturbing. Yeah.
Because when I re-listened to yesterday's show, and it's really disturbing.
Do you hear anything anywhere about that?
No, people don't know.
No.
They're not aware of it.
And the sad thing is, I think most people really don't care. And that's sad.
Well, that's even sad. That's sadder. I mean, that's telling, isn't it, really?
I think we have this mentality that's over there. It's not going to be here. It's never going to be here.
It's not an issue for us, so why should we worry?
Very dangerous thinking.
Until it
happens.
Ends up on our own doorstep here. So, I mean, the stuff that's going on, you know, in the world, and you know what's so sad as well. And again, I want to be realistic. You know, I say we'll get into this. Why don't let me get through the show? Don't let me get on my soapbox, so to speak. But without getting into the five ways to better mental health. You know, how to maintain sanity in this insanity that is all around us. Or do people even realize the insanity of it all?
That's the thing.
That's another thing.
How to sanctify our day, the fact that we remain God-centered. I think part of the thing is we're so distracted by so many things. Mm-hmm. And the distraction is such that we have basically caved in or compromised our values, our principles, what is really necessary, not only for our own personal salvation. Because really what's necessary for salvation is that we are in the work of life, that we're safeguarding and protecting the very principles, the values and the faith that ensures that others have a rightness before God, you know. And if you're going to be right before God, you've got to be right before your brother, your sister. You know, it seems to me that I keep saying this over and over, but we've given in to the free reign of the flesh in such a way that we've become slaves. And as St. Paul said, what comes from this is not darkness. Mm-hmm. Is darkness. But again, we don't come out of the darkness for fear that, you know, the truth is going to be exposed. And so what we do is we celebrate as a people disordered. It's as if we're you know, don't rock the boat. We'll celebrate a disordered way of living. The fact that I was just reading, and here too, you know, we're so bullied into, well, you can't offend anybody, you can't judge anybody, you know, who are you, self-righteous, don't make it. But, you know, I look at Chicago again, you know, mm-hmm. there's always, every day there's the news of shootings mm-hmm. or killings and all that. And you just drive around and you see it. You can see this stuff, you know. Again, I don't want to be overly negative or overly pessimistic, but reality is reality. Mm-hmm. And why is it that we're afraid to address the moral collapse or the rapidly moral collapse of our nation, the city of Chicago? Why mm-hmm. we're not addressing the issues that need to be addressed? What has happened to the family? What has happened to morality? What is going on in education? You know, what are students being taught? I've said it so often, and I just firmly believe that we've been breeding narcissism for so long now that we're reaping the, mm-hmm. The stuff of this, right?
It's kind of funny because when you're talking, all I hear is give us more money for education, give us more money for education. But the more money you throw into it, what are we doing about the family? What are we doing about, you know, the respect for life? What are we doing about that? So you can keep giving money, and it seems that it's going nowhere.
How do you mm-hmm. How do you build character?
Exactly.
Character. What has happened to the character of the, mm-hmm. I remember the old, what was the name of the book? Raggedy Dick, the Horatio Alger. You know, we read this back in high school, and I was in high school. And it's the whole white Anglo-Saxon Protestant ethic, which isn't a bad thing. It's a quite good thing, you know. But this idea of hard work, mm-hmm. you know.
What's that?
Hard work, and you pull yourself up from the bootstraps. Is that how they say it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know you get in there and you apply yourself. You do something, and sometimes the less we have, the more we have. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
and it seems like nowadays people, like you said, you don't want to offend. We've become so overly sensitive. You can't say anything.
We've been bullied into that.
It's
a political correctness.
Like, we're doing a disservice to the people, to the young people. I remember growing up, even the generations before, they were, we call, no nonsense, but they got things done and they were strong and they just persevered. And now It's like, oh, we baby people. It's like, oh, no, you know, so we don't want to hurt their feelings.
There's no winners, there's no losers.
No, it's like,
you do your thing, I do my thing, no judgment. It's all relative. Radical individualism. You know,
mm-hmm.
I was reading an article the other day, millennials don't marry. They don't want to marry. You know, but let me, because I'm getting on my soapbox.
Okay.
Soapbox.
The five
okay.
So, well, we're going to get to that in a moment.
Okay.
I just want to go back and revisit this. Well, let me just say, today is a feast of St. James.
Mm-hmm.
And St. James, you know, one of the apostles, in the office of readings today, I tell you, one of the things I realized as I've been reflecting this morning, I've been praying, and, you know, when you go to prayer, I say, Lord, you know, you got to, you know, help me to, I want to bring hope.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring some light into the darkness. And certainly I would say that in many ways, being in a parish, certainly here, you know, you don't know what's going to come through that door, and we're dealing with crisis all the time. And so it's good sometimes to, well, I was talking to somebody the other day who went to a wedding last week, and they said it was so wonderful, so beautiful, and everybody was so really fully committed
mm-hmm.
to the Catholic faith, to the, you know, committed Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the ambiance, the joy, the celebration. Father Robert Barron was a celebrant of the Mass, and it just said it was just a very uplifting, positive experience. It gave a real sense of hope that, you know, all is not lost, and all is not lost mm-hmm. because, again, you know, good does prevail, and this is, I've said this, but we've got to We have to wake up. We have to wake up. We have to ask ourselves, you know, what must we do? What can we do? But I was reading, so this morning as I was praying and reading the office, reading the, there's the beautiful reading from St. John Chrysostom, because this is the Feast of St. James. Today is the Feast of St. James. And so one of the readings, we have what we call the Liturgy of the Hours, of the Divine Office. So it's kind of a hinge to the celebration of the Mass. So I'll pray before I go to Mass. I'll spend about 45 minutes to an hour in prayer, just praying the Psalms, praying the readings of the day. And these are the beauty of this is that all over the world, the Holy Father himself in the Vatican will be praying the same prayer. You know, the same Psalms, the same readings. So you get readings from the early fathers of the church, you get the readings of the saints, you get the readings that come from the different councils down through the history of the church, the Second Vatican Council in recent history. And it's, you know, if you've got the time, and, you know, as priests, we're required to pray at least the morning prayer and the evening prayer. So if you're in a monastery, if you're in a convent where you're cloistered nuns, well, they pray the entire office, which means they pray morning, mid-morning, noon, mid-afternoon, evening, night prayer, and then I believe they even have special prayers that some pray perhaps in the middle of the night. So this is a kind of a perpetual, ongoing prayer. But I'll tell you, you know, this morning as I was reading this and reflecting on what's happening and listening to, which I'll get to in just a moment here, interviews from some of the Christians who have fled Iraq, you get a real sense that really to understand the full counsel of God, let's say I keep going back to the full counsel of God because St. Paul speaks about the full counsel of God as he's leaving, was it Ephesus for Jerusalem or Jerusalem for Ephesus or Ephesus to Rome? I don't remember exactly from where to where, but he was giving his farewell discourse and he was speaking to the priests. And he says, you know, and he says to them, you know, I have no regrets because I've preached, I've lived the full counsel of God. So I haven't, you know, I didn't pick and choose, I didn't water it down, I didn't soften it. I gave you the full counsel of God, and you must go forth and do the same. And so he says he has no regrets, he's not going to lose any sleep. And I guess, you know, even as a priest, I keep thinking about that as well, since I, you know, how certain things kind of, you kind of catch certain things at certain times. You know, there's things that you may have read over and over because, you know, I'm 30 years into the priesthood. And so, you know, coupled with 9 years in the seminary, so we're talking 40 years that they're really at the very heart of the church and at the heart of the gospel. But there's a lot of things that just kind of go over your head. And then all of a sudden, you know, here's 30 years later and I'm reading something, it's just all of a sudden it just clicks. Mm-hmm. It makes so much sense. You know, the full counsel of God, is this not the problem? Is that we're not preaching the full counsel of God, that we want to pick and choose what's going to make us feel good, what's going to be comfortable, what's not going to cause us any problems with anybody. But in any case, as I was reflecting this morning, I realized that the full counsel of God, the full gospel message, which is the jewel of sacred scripture, because everything, I mean, it's read within the context of the Old Testament and the epistles and the book of Revelation, but at the heart of all that is the gospel message, so that we begin with Jesus and we work backwards to understand who he is, you know, going back into the Hebrew scriptures. And then, of course, the epistles, which were most of them written before the gospels were written, because the church was already, even before we had the written gospel. And even as the epistles, the letters, you know, the letters of St. Paul, St. James, St. John, St. Peter, what makes up the New Testament, even as they're being written, the church is already celebrating the sacred mysteries, the Holy Mass, the Eucharist. The church is already in the work of, in the mission of evangelization, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, preach repentance for sin, repentance from sin. You know, in other words, we're calling, the church's mission is to call people out of darkness, come away from the darkness, come into the light. that there's a purpose and meaning to life. You know, God has visited us. God has come to us. God has condescended. He has taken on our flesh. He's laid out the plan. He's shown us a way. He's redeemed us. He's saved us. He took all our sin to himself, and he took it down into death, and he rose from the dead. And he could say, you know, don't be afraid, be at peace, but remain with me and be about this mission, my disciples, so that we begin to take on the mind and the heart and the Spirit of God, because we're part of the whole goal of Christianity is to allow Jesus to reproduce his life in us. This is the work of the Spirit, you know, God, Jesus reproducing. He gives himself. What is it but that we become the Eucharist we consume? But as I was reflecting this morning, I realized that who can best understand this, the full counsel of God, the full gospel message? You know who understands this? The persecuted. Those who are persecuted, they understand, you know? And until we recognize the subtle persecution that is happening all around us, we're not going to understand. Until we feel that as I was reading yesterday, as I was sharing with you, the most effective way to destroy people is to deny or obliterate their own understanding of their history. Another way to simply obliterate their history entirely, give them no connection to their past, no standing reflection of who they are. In this way, they become nobodies, people with no past to point to, no footpath to refer back to, so as to gauge a way forward. This is a despicable robbery. And so this is what's happening in the Middle East among Christians. Their history is being obliterated. You know, I was even reading today that the Christians, there's a word for it, and I'll come to it in a moment here. I'll get it for you, but because in Iraq they're given a choice. Basically, they're gone, because either you convert to Islam, you pay the tax. What does it mean to pay the tax? You know, it means that you become that you have basically no rights. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. We're going to take a break. Or you're executed. You're put to death, you know. And so I was listening to some interviews with some of the, this is from the Near East Welfare Organization. I don't exactly remember what it's called, the Catholic Near East Welfare Association. So they've interviewed some of the Christians who have left. And it's really so, so sad. But they're persecuted, and so everything now makes such clear sense. But if they're being obliterated, their history is being obliterated, is this not what's happening here in our own country? We have, the media is a culprit, a major culprit. I think government has become a culprit in this, but to obliterate the history, our own identity, we're disconnected. And so because we live in a different kind of a culture, we're under the dominion of pop culture. Government more and more is in bed with pop culture. I mean, you just follow where the president is all the time. He's constantly fundraising, mm-hmm. and he was in California, in Los Angeles, at the home of the director, the producer of the sitcom, The Scandals or something, or a movie, there's something, I don't mm-hmm. see the, but anyway, and it was closed off to the public. It was closed off to the media, you know, private. But is this too much to say? No, this is what is happening. The fact that we're in a position where, as you said, Christina, if we defend life, we defend marriage, or you were saying that, Tony, as well. If we recognize the need, the obligation, the responsibility we have to defend life, that life in the womb of a woman, the womb of the mother, is sacred, that marriage is sacred and necessary, the family is indispensable to the well-being of society. And here we are having to defend, but even in our defense of life and our defense of marriage, we are we are accused of bigotry and hatred and intolerance. Who is intolerant? Who's intolerant? Where are the real bigots? You know, the real where's the hate really? You know, in any case, we're experiencing the obliteration of our history. But it's again the tactics of the devil to deceive and to seduce, to allure us into all the stuff that seems on the surface to be so good and feel so good, and you know, power and pleasure and you know, riches, you know, give us the toys, give us anything, just we're so distracted that it's always been said of the United States is a wonderful nation. And a generous nation, mm-hmm. by tradition, as it's got its as every institution, including the church, it's got its there's its darkness, but the good far outweighs the darkness, the bad I should say, the light. But the nation is radically changed, mm-hmm. radically changed, and so it's you know we're in a position where we have to defend. What seems, what am I trying to say here? That everything is upside down. Mm-hmm. Everything is upside down. And anyway, you know what? Let's take a break, and we'll come back. And just want to look again briefly at the situation in the Middle East, and then we'll look at, of course, tie this into the Feast of St. James, and then how do we maintain sanity, and how do we keep our day sacred, okay? So we'll look at all that when we get back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
On Thursday, July 31st, Father Anthony talks with Juliana Tomorazzi, who will share with us the story of ISIS robbing Christians fleeing their edict in Mosul. Convert, leave, or die. Or die, or die. And how you may be able to help them. Thursday, July 31st at noon on Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to the best ever Prairie Fest.
Friday through Sunday, August 8th through the 10th. Friday night, it's Maggie Speaks. Then Sunday evening at 7:30, Prairie Fest celebrates 50 years of the Beatles and the British invasion with American English. It was 20 years ago today, such a member of the band to play. Then on Sunday, August 10th at Prairie Fest, polka all day long. At 11 a.m., Polka Generations starts the day, followed by Eddie Carosa Jr. and the Boys from Illinois. Local favorite Harvest Moon plays on Saturday at 4. Prairie Fest with free admission, food, $10,000 raffle, children's games, and so much more. On the Prairie at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wheel Cook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Details at ByzantineCatholic.com. Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 8th through the 10th.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. I think it's a kind of a sad Friday because of what's happening. And you know what I was going to say before the break? How provincial. It's always been said of the United States that we're very provincial. In other words, we're kind of this great big nation, a superpower already for so long, and yet we're very provincial. We really don't know what's going on in the world. And I guess the question, do we care? Well, there are people who care, but when we're under the dominion of pop culture and we can tell you, people can tell you anything and everything about, you know, who are the stars of Hollywood and all this, but can't say much about, you know, what's happening here or there, wherever, you know, in the Middle East or in Nigeria and in Israel and in the Ukraine or in Ukraine, whatever. And that's quite telling, you know. We've got to come out of ourselves in this sense. I think when the Holy Father says, you know, we got to go out of ourselves, it's even we got to think beyond the borders of our own country, borders that aren't even. Well, I'm not going to get into that, but the interview with some of the Christians who have fled some of them, because they're gone. They're basically gone. Iraq, the Christians are gone. But the choice is leave or take a bullet to the head. This is stuff that's coming from the interviews. The Christians are hurting. They're shocked. They're displaced. And they say, you know, as one lady says, what have the Christians done to you as they're being forced out of their homes? Either they convert, they pay the tax, or a bullet or worse is put to their head. I say worse because a bullet would be instantaneous, mm-hmm. right, death. But they're actually the – I was reading this morning too, you know, and this is what you don't hear. You know, crucifixions, wow. beheadings, even children, if they're caught stealing, you know, the hands are cut off. This is the extreme this is Sharia law at the extreme, at the extreme. And what's interesting, too, in this talk about man's inhumanity to man, you can and the response to some of the Christians in the interview is, you know, take the house, take the money, take the car, take the clothes, but you possess no part of my soul, which belongs to and is fed and sustained by Christ Jesus. This is a response from one in the interview. Quoting the Lord in His name, you know, you can. They say, you know, take. You can. They say, okay, we need our. What do you call it? The medications, you know, because it's being. You gotta go. Mm-hmm. You gotta go. But I need my insulin. I need my medication. Well, you're not gonna get your insulin. You're not gonna get your medication. You're out. You're gone. You know, this is what's happening. What's happened in Iraq. The bishop, I mentioned yesterday, 1,800, a church 1,800 years old has been confiscated and destroyed. The bishop's residence has been destroyed. Everything is flattened. Churches have been burned down, or they've been taken over and made into what was one of the churches had become a place where they're training now militants for this ISIS. The library, the manuscript collection, all that is being destroyed. We're talking about, you know, the obliteration of a history. And the question is, and they're asking, does anybody care? Does anybody care? You just asked a question. They're asking the same question. Where is, is there anybody here to help us? You know? We're seeing, as one person, we're seeing great swatches of Christianity wiped from the Middle East. The strictest and most brutal interpretation of Sharia, like children having their hands hacked off or stealing food out of hunger. They have no problem with crucifixion. They have done it. They are kidnapping. There are crucifixions, beheadings, beatings, and enforced conversions. And the atrocities to priests and bishops is taking place as well. And they're preparing for the worst. Well, the worst has happened. And now this tax, I got to say something about the tax, because I thought this was, or just was reading this morning as well. What they're doing, because they say, okay, you've got three options, right? Or four options, I guess. Get out of here, flee, be gone from here. This is not your land, be gone from here. Convert, and you can stay. Or pay the tax, or what was the other one? Or be executed. Mm-hmm. Be executed. So what they're doing is there's a word for it. The tax on Christians. The accurate word is, and I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's a diminutude.
Juliana.
Juliana, when she comes, we can ask her about mm-hmm. this. But the key is that people of other faith, if they're living in lands ruled by Islam and are given dhimmi status, I'm going to call it dhimmi status. In other words, they receive some protection under Sharia law in exchange for paying a tax as a sign of what? Submission. This means that they're not allowed to protect themselves. They must... they're not allowed to display symbols of their faith, to build or even to repair their religious sanctuaries. They're not allowed to win converts. and they've been asked to wear some form of distinctive apparel as a sign of their inferior status.
Basically like slaves,
sure.
In a sense.
Yeah. You think of the Nazis and what they did to the Jews in Germany, mm-hmm. and other parts of the world throughout the Europe. So, yes, protected but inferior. This is the status under the strict forms of Sharia law that are being enforced. And so they're not taking it, you know. They're not taking it. So anyway, that's what's happening there. Now today is the feast of Saint. So our prayers go out to the people. I mean, there's stuff going on all over the world, but I just, because nobody is talking about the plight, the Holocaust that is taking place.
It's like what, the massacre in Rwanda. Nobody came
to their aid.
No.
And I saw that. I was there some years after it happened. Speaking of Rwanda, there was, but I tell you, if I had seen this before, I probably wouldn't have gone. I've been there two times I was in Rwanda, but I knew of the genocide and all that, and we have a connection to Kabeho, the shrine of where Our Lady appeared. These are Vatican-approved apparitions where she basically forewarned the people that there had to be if they didn't return to God, that there would be that the rivers would flow with the blood of the dead, and the people should unite themselves to Jesus on the cross and prepare for their death if there's not a return to God, that God is peace. And she emphasized the Word of God, but the innocent, again, here too, you know, it's most people were innocent. Most people, this is the thing we got to keep in mind, everybody, you know, it's the majority are innocent people, but it doesn't take a lot, you know, to band together and to commit these kind of atrocities. But when they were, the Belgians and the French were being evacuated from Rwanda, I saw this on a documentary that was done, and they showed a minibus, you know, with that was transporting some Belgians and French to the airport to evacuate them, because the genocide was beginning. It was just the gates of hell that just broke open. And there were people, there was probably about 50 to 75 people, Tutsis, who were the ones that were basically massacred, standing on the side of the road. They actually filmed this as they're coming, and they're pleading to be taken to the airport, you know, to be saved. And when they came back, so the person in the, one of the persons in the minivan was filming this. On the way back from the airport, some hours later, he filmed the same spot where all those people had been slaughtered, had been massacred. And this is something that's just unbelievable. You know, to this day, I can't quite comprehend or understand how, you know, 50 to 75 people rounded up, hoping for, pleading for evacuation to be saved, how the perpetrators of this violence could, you know, in one instant, hack all these people to death. But they did. And the churches, people sought refuge, sanctuary in churches, and to no avail. In Kabeho, where Our Lady appeared, in Kabeho, I believe it was maybe 1,000, 1,500 or something people sought refuge in the church. And they mortared the church, and they all died in the church. And when I went, I couldn't believe this. I was walking in the back. I was with a couple of other priests, and went to the back of the sanctuary, into the sacristy, and there were about four or five coffins, wooden coffins. Now this is 10 years later, and I don't know why, but I just happened to lift the top of thinking they were empty. And there were probably about four bodies, all skeletal.
Coffin?
Well, in this one,
oh, okay.
Because I realized they've all got bodies in them, but it was just skeletal remains. And then they took me into a cellar where they a memorial, and it was just horrific, just horrific. But this is happening, you know. Here and we're this is what we got to pray. Today's a feast of St. James, and it's interesting. You know, St. James was the son of Zebedee, brother of St. John the Apostle. Was probably the cousin of Jesus. He's called the Greater, James the Greater, only because he was he became an apostle before St. James the Lesser. And it's believed that he was a disciple of St. John the Baptist. He was a fisherman. And he left, of course, as they all did, he left everything when Christ called him to be a fisher of men, was present there for most of the miracles of Jesus. You know, Jesus, in his journey, there were certain times when he had all these disciples, right? But he had, of course, in the 12, really the inner circle. And the church is built on the pillar of the 12. But when he went, when there was these, let's say, the Transfiguration, when he went into the home of, I believe it was Jairus' daughter, mm-hmm. when she had, evidently she had died, and Jesus went into the home and healed her, brought her back to life. When Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, of course, he took them all down there, all but Judas Iscariot, because he had, at this point, he had betrayed the Lord, had sold him out. But as even in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he went deeper into the garden, he took only who? But James, Peter, James, and John. And to the Mount of the Transfiguration, he took Peter, James, and John. To the home of Jairus, the home of Jairus, where his daughter had died. He took only Peter, James, and John. So he kept those three very, very, very close to himself. They were the most intimate with Jesus. Peter, of course, because he was the head of the mm-hmm. church. Jesus would build the church on the rock of Peter, and John the Beloved, of course, of the 12 apostles, okay, Judas betrayed the Lord and took his own life. He despaired. He took his own life. John is the only one who lived a full life. Mm-hmm. He wasn't martyred. And, of course, he had a special task, and that was, you know, that he wrote the Gospel of John and mm-hmm. the Book of Revelation and some letters.
And he was the one that stayed with Jesus throughout the whole Passion.
Through the Passion, he was right to the cross. Exactly, yeah. Just like Mary Magdalene, whose feast day we celebrated, and of course our Blessed Virgin, the Mother of God, they walked him right to the cross, stayed with him to the end. Peter had fled, and James had fled as well. Mm-hmm. But James was the first martyr; he was the first to be martyred. But in the Gospel today for the feast day. You've got that, actually got the mother of James and John asking Jesus, you know, to give her sons a place at the right and the left. And Jesus says, "This is not for me to give." But he says to them, he looks to them, he says, "Can you drink the cup and be baptized in the baptism which I must undergo?" And they said, "Yes, we can." Well, they didn't understand. He says, "You don't understand. You don't know what you're talking about." Mm-hmm. He says, "You talk of sharing honors and rewards with me, but I must talk." He says, "I must talk of struggle and toil." Now, he says, "Now is not the time for rewards, or the time for my glory, or the time for my glory to be revealed." And then he said, or this is St. John Chrysostom's meditation, reflection on this passage in Scripture. And he says, Jesus says, "His earthly life is the time for bloodshed, for war and danger." Mm. Now, that's interesting. This, as I said, you know, who really understands the full counsel of God, the full gospel message, but those who are persecuted, those who are persecuted. Jesus Jesus reemphasizes that over and over. That's why I say, you know, when we start talking about the full counsel of God, do we just kind of miss this? You know, Jesus says, "You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble." He says this the night before. This shouldn't come as a surprise. He says, "This is a narrow path. It's a difficult path. It's the way of the cross." You know, and I say this because, okay, in view of what's happening to the Christians in the Middle East, and certainly what's happening to the Israelis and to the Palestinians and what's happening to the Latinos, you know, and the people of our own city of Chicago, the African-Americans, because mostly this is what's going on in the violence, you know, But what's the root of this? You know, what's at the root of this? But going back to what you were saying, Tony, do we care? Do we care? Are we oblivious as our history is being obliterated in our own country? Mm-hmm. And are we oblivious as our history is being obliterated, as we cave in and compromise because we're so enamored with pop culture, and we're losing or missing the great, we've lost the treasure, which is the gospel for this Sunday, by the way, you know? Anyway, it's a question. So I promised you that I would, before the show ends, to deal with, you know, how do we maintain sanity in this world that is getting and becoming more and more insane, and how do we keep each day sacred? So let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll try to address that, okay? So don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support of Winds of Change, and I am 750 WNDZ.
Join us Friday, August 8th at noon, when Father Anthony welcomes Frank Bonack to talk about a special devotion, Our Lady's Living Rosary, on Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. You know, as I was saying, as we seem to be oblivious as our history is being obliterated. Now, it will not be obliterated because God, again, He will ensure for Himself a flock. And Pope Benedict said that the church is going to be purged in our own society, in our own culture. If you can call it a culture, I don't know what kind of culture we'd call it. But in our own society, is it not a badge of honor for people to say, when you talk to people, how many people say, we talk about, do people care? How many people say, well, it's a badge of honor to say, I was a Catholic, or I don't need the church. Mm-hmm. I have God, or God and I have an understanding. Because what's rapidly growing in the country is, what do they call that? The nuns? Nun.
The nun.
Yeah, even as I'm saying that, I'm thinking of the Christians in Iraq again, whose homes were marked with an N for Nazarene, you know. And so we have those who are marking themselves with an N in our own culture, which means none. In other words, none. I don't claim any religious affiliation. And I was, you know, okay, so be it. How do we maintain sanity in a world that is increasingly insane? And remembering always that Jesus says that good will prevail. Was that today in today's gospel? No, it'll be this Sunday, the second reading, and Paul in his letter to the Romans, he says, you know, we know, brothers and sisters, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose, those who are conformed in the image of His Son, so that Jesus be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We've been adopted into this family. And so these are our brothers and sisters who are undergoing persecution, annihilation, the obliteration of their history. But as I said, as Jesus said, you can kill the body, but you can't kill the soul. He said, don't worry about those who can kill the body. Worry rather about those who can kill the soul.
Exactly.
Right? Didn't Jesus say that? And basically that's where they're quoting the Lord, even in Iraq, this interview with these Christians who have already have fled. But St. Paul says, okay, now as far as our sanity, okay, as we get back to this, how to be sane, how to keep mental health, better mental health And by the way, you know, we're talking also about individual lives. I'm dealing every day with crises, you know, a woman who leaves with a man, a man who leaves with another woman, or man who leaves with a man, woman who leaves with, you know, in other words, the division of a marriage, the destruction of a family, and addictions, all kind of, you know, okay, so we've got our own, you know, a kind of an annihilation that's happening in our own country because we've given free rein to the flesh, you know. And so it's the flesh will lust against the spirit and bring us into darkness. But thanks be to God that we have a way out of that darkness if we just humble ourselves and recognize our need for a redeemer, for a savior, for God who is from whom we come, to whom we go, and whom we live, you know, who's always waiting. He remains faithful. But St. Paul says, you know, okay, we go back to the sanity. I guess I keep skirting the issue because I don't know that I'll ever be really, really sane. But he says, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances, Paul said. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, he's speaking these words from jail, from prison. Good as point. He's even preparing for his own martyrdom. Mm-hmm. But the full text of the 5 points, the 5-point plan for better mental health, number one, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'm not talking about a flippant rejoicing, but a deep interior joy that knows we're not defeated. Good will prevail. At the end of all things, at the end of the day, you know, what awaits us is a great good where eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor so much has dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. So rejoice in the Lord always. He says it again, rejoice. Let your moderateness be evident to all. The Lord is near. He's near. This is, again, going back to those people, you know, take everything. You've taken everything, but you cannot take the soul. You're not going to take the soul in who dwells Christ Jesus. It's a very profound and very real. And that would be for any and all of us if we just humble ourselves and open our lives. Do not be anxious. This would be the second thing to health, to mental health, sanity. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. You know, in other words, don't be anxious. How often did Jesus say that in the gospel? I look at the birds in the sky, the flowers of the field. I provide for the birds and the flowers are beautifully adorned. He says, you're more important to me than the birds. And I says, so stop it already. Enough already. Don't worry about tomorrow. He says, tomorrow hasn't come. And today, yes, he said, today we've got problems. And I'm with you today. I'll get you through this day, and I'll be with you tomorrow. So don't be anxious. Believe God is present. Thanksgiving. This is another means to sanity. Be thankful, be grateful, you know. Remember what the Lord has done for you, you know. So always gratitude. Rely on the Lord. This is another one. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, be by prayer. And hey, listen, we're going to, because I got to get one more break in. So let's do that, and then we can bring the show to a close and let you slip into the weekend. So don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Christ gave Sister Faustina Kowalska the gift of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and pray with us. Visit sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofdivinemercy.org. For the complete schedule of Masses in English, Polish, and Spanish, and the recitation of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, come to St. Stanislaus Kostka, corner of Evergreen and Noble. That's 2 blocks north of Division on Evergreen, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Christ is waiting. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Join us Friday, August 8th at noon when Father Anthony welcomes Frank Bonac to talk about a special devotion, Our Lady's Living Rosary, on Winds of Change.
Welcome back, everybody. I made it, didn't I?
Yes, we're on.
It's good.
I'm kind of off in La La Land. Not La La Land. No. I don't know. What does that mean, La La Land? I don't know. It's
Fantasy Island.
Anyway, so we're just about out of time, but we've got, but what are the five, let me just read the whole text. This is from Paul in his letter to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. So that's the one thing. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let your moderateness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Never to forget, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. There's another thing, to be always grateful. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So be at peace with God, you know? Don't be one of those out there who says, you know, I don't need God, or we can do it, or I don't need the church, or
Or I'm just spiritual.
I'm a bad, you know, no. You know, this is, we're talking about a historical, again, this is the thing about the Middle East, the Christians. They predate. This is the thing about this tax, that, you know, you're foreigners. Basically, this is that you are foreigners in their own land, you know, predating Islam by 600 years, you know. So we got to be at peace with God. He transcends all understanding, and he will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So to maintain sanity, we rejoice in the presence of the Lord. Again, it's a deep joy, not a flippant joy, not a put-on kind of a happy face, but it's a joy that is, I want to sound like Mother Teresa, even John Paul II, you could see the deep, deep sorrow. You know, they were very much affected, very sensitive to the suffering of the world, and yet they had this profound, abiding joy. This is a very interesting intermingling of these two, you know, because what did Pope Benedict say? But the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of humble believers. So rejoice in the Lord. It's a deep joy. Rely on the power of the Lord. That's the second. Rely on God's power. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your request to God, you know. So we have to cultivate a sense of the presence of God. We have to be very intentional about that through prayer. God is near. So let the fear recede, right? God is near. Believe in the nearness of God. Let the fear recede. God is only a prayer away. Just call on him. We can all testify to that fact. Ponder deeply how he has delivered you in the past and how he has made a way out of no way, how he's made the crooked line straight or drawn straight with crooked lines. Let the Holy Spirit anoint your memory. Be aware of God's saving power in your life. So rely on the power of the Lord. Don't be anxious. And number three, remember the provision of the Lord, because the text says, this is Paul in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, 11 to 12, thanksgiving. We have to discipline the mind to count our blessings, to count our blessings. We lose everything. As is Job said, you know, this is what the people are going through, perhaps, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because, again, as Jesus said, don't worry about those who can kill the body. Worry about those who can kill the soul. Like the Iraqi, the Christian said, you know, they've taken everything, but they can't take our soul. They can't rob us of our soul. But they're in deep suffering nonetheless. So remember the provision of the Lord, how he has provided. We have to count our blessings, thanksgiving. Rest in the peace of the Lord. This is in the text as well. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Serenity, you know, our hearts and minds present to Christ. Reflect on the plan of the Lord. That was the final thing. What is true? What is noble? What is the plan of the Lord? What is noble? What is right? What is pure? What is lovely? What is admirable? What is worthy of praise? We got to think about these things. What have you learned? What have you received? What have you heard, you know, from the church, from your holy mother or father or your grandparents? What makes for dignified human beings? What gives character to a person? What is it that draws us? What is the beauty that we find in another, you know, where there's character, where there's a gentleness, where there's truth, where there's goodness, you know? And that's what we gotta look at that, right? Because this is what gives us the hope. This is, I go back to the wedding that somebody mentioned. They had gone to a wedding, and it was just these very committed Catholics, and they said it was just the joy and and just holy festival, holy festivity, you know, not the drunkenness and all that, but just a very healthy and holy way of celebration, great joy, you know. And, you know, and here we go, you know, and this is my temptation, but I have to do this, you know, I have to be aware. I'm kind of challenging myself, but, you know, sometimes we have too much. We know too much of the news of the world. We have to be careful not to be on a steady diet of 24/7 news cycle, no, but to focus, not to focus just on the bad news, but to ponder the plan of God, His truth, His glory, His priorities. You know, does that make sense? This is what will keep us sane. Now, we didn't get into the five ways to sanctify our day. Of course, you can imagine that it really has to, well, I can say this real quick. Well, we're out of time, but, you know, prayer. So we'll come back to that on Monday. You know, everybody, let's pray for the peace in the world, no doubt, peace in the world, and in a very special way for these who are not getting any attention, very little attention, and that those are the Holocaust that has taken place among Christians, two Christians in the Middle East. They are our brothers and sisters, as are the Israelis, the Palestinians, the Muslims, the people on the border, the Latinos, the we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. You know, as I said yesterday, the church has no boundaries.
One body.
All right. Thanks for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
It's time to be stirred. The time is now.